Samantha and Nick, in a few months, are going to be encouraging their little one to take one step at a time. And when we work on a project, it works best if we take it one step at a time. If we want the project to come out like it should. And if there was a blind person that was in a strange area, unfamiliar with them, they would probably be taking it one step at a time. And by now, maybe you might have concluded what the title for my lesson is today, One Step at a Time. We're going to look through the Bible this morning and see that for us as Christians, that it's sometimes prudent and also necessary for us to take one step at a time. One step at a time so that we don't fall. Because we don't know what temptation lies before us. Let's take a look at Paul's warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 reads there, Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Paul's point is, we can think we're strong, but the world can come in there and temptations beset us and we fall. So, beware and take heed. Mark wrote of Jesus' talking to Peter, James, and John about temptation in Mark 14 and verse 38. And Jesus said to them, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So, a lot of times our spirit, we have a willing spirit, but this flesh can be weak and we'll fall, is what Jesus' point was. Paul wrote again of a fall that one can take because of temptation in 1 Timothy, and he was giving the qualifications for a elder here. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, he says that an elder needed to not be a novice, lest he be puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. So, these are qualifications that were given for an elder, but it is a warning for us as well that pride comes before a fall. And we are not to allow ourselves to be too proudful that we will fall because of it. And we're warned in Hebrews. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 11, he talks of taking a fall. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same examples of disobedience. The disobedient are ones who are falling here. And he says, therefore be diligent. We have to be diligent because temptations can cause us to fall. And let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and 17 and 18. We studied this just this morning in the class, adults class. Peter wrote here, 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your steadfastness, being led away with error by the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter's telling them, you know beforehand, but you need to be aware. I'm stirring up your sincere minds, making you aware again that you can fall from your steadfastness. You seem to be steadfast, but you can fall. But what can keep you from that? Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we need to continue studying constantly and praying that we can be aware of the things out there that can cause us to fall. James tells us why we must take steps one step at a time and endure temptation. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, James 1:12, he wrote there, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised those who love him." If we can endure the temptations that beset us, a crown of life is for us, eternal life. But if we allow temptations to beset us and fall away from God, damnation awaits us. We need to take one step at a time with the weak. We'll see this in Paul's letter to those in Rome. In Romans 14, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables." Let's drop down to verse 21 in that chapter. "It is good neither to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak." Paul is writing that your brother is weak, and if he has a problem with this, and you're doing it in front of him, you're causing him to stumble. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Paul also writes over to them, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to look at verses 7 through 13. 2 Corinthians 8, 7. "However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some with conscience and idols, until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not condemn us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. If anyone sees you who have knowledge of eating an idol in the temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish? For whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their conscience, weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother to stumble, I will never eat me, lest I make my brother stumble. Paul said, food does not condemn us. Peter was given an example over an axe, lowering down of things that were unclean for him to eat. And God told him to take and eat. And he said he couldn't do it. But God, the vision told him that, yes, you can. What God has provided is good for you. And that's Paul's point here. Food doesn't condemn us. He said there, you're not the better, nor are you the worse, if you abstain from meats. But what did he say? If it causes my brother to stumble, I'll never eat meat again. What's that an example of? That's an example of love. What did Jesus say? Love one another. And this is that perfect example. We have to take one step at a time with our weak brother. James gives us words of wisdom on this in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. We had this read in the scripture reading this morning. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James' point is here, if you lack wisdom, if you lack the wisdom to realize that meat is not going to condemn you, if you don't realize something is in between you and God, you need to pray for the wisdom. You need to study God's Word to find that wisdom. And you need to do it with faith and pray about it with faith. You know, too many times, even myself, I can sit and utter a prayer that is pretty much meaningless because I'm not concentrating and not putting my heart into it and thinking about what it is and so forth. That's the point here. We can't be double-minded. Our thoughts and our prayers and our concerns have to be there and earnest and so forth, James is talking about here. We need to take one step at a time with the weak. But we need to guard against getting stuck on that step. And or being on the milk. Dwight in our class talked about this also in the scripture anyway. We gotta grow. And that's what the writer's trying to point out to us in Hebrews chapter 5. in Hebrews 5, 12 through 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who is partaker only of milk is unskilled in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The writer here is stating we've got to get off and beyond first principles at some point in your life. You can't leave a baby on milk all its life. You've got to give it solid food. It needs more nourishment to continue to grow. It always needs the milk, but it's got to have more solid foods to continue to grow. And we got to get past those first principles. Get onto the solid foods. And that's for those who are full age. When it's not expected for young Christians that are new in the faith, but once you've been there, you just can't always stay there. He said there, exercise your senses. It is not to get out and do jumping jacks. It is to get into the book of God and study it, so you can discern both good and evil. Food is not evil. That's only one point. There's many things in the scriptures that can be a weakness for us. Many things in life can be a weakness for us. And we've got to come to a knowledge of those things. God teaches against certain things, and we've got to come to a knowledge of those. And you can't do it if you don't exercise your senses. Paul said bodily exercise doesn't do anything for you. It won't avail with anything. You'll still be lost spiritually if you just do bodily exercises. But exercising your senses of right and wrong will save your soul. One step at a time to avoid falling into friendship with the world. James points this out in James 4:4. James 4 reads, James chapter 4, verse 4, adulteresses and adulterers. I just reversed that, excuse me. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, let's look at that closer. He's not saying that we can't have friends that are worldly. He's telling you can't be friends with the world. And who's he talking to? Adulterers and adulteresses. Those are ones who are doing things wrong, sinning. They're adulterers and adulteresses because they're sinning against God, leaving the bridegroom and going into something else. It wasn't because they had worldly acquaintances. Let's go on to read my next scripture here. In 1 John chapter 2, we'll read 15 through 17. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. It's spelled out there perfectly and clearly that it's not people of the world, but the world, the lust of it, the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the things that we desire to possess, and one thing or another that can bring us down. Not necessarily the people. The people can bring us down, but that's not the point. We can't walk away and not be associated with those of this world. It is not impossible. We could, but Paul even tells us that you can't go live on an island by yourself. How's anybody else going to learn about God, for one thing? To avoid running with evil, we must take one step at a time. As the wise man wrote in Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, there are seven that are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. We can't run with evil. If those of our worldly acquaintances are doing things that are evil, that's what we can't run with. My next example is to Isaiah. If you'll turn over to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 7. Isaiah 59 and verse 7, we see there, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are of thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. That's the evil we got to stay away from. And in the New Testament, let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 17 through 19. Verse 17 starts there. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. He says there that many walk. Many are running this way. He's told them about this before, and now he's to the point that he's even weeping over this. it saddens him that bad. Because these people, whose God is their belly, because all the things are earthly things, has made them enemies of the cross. We should take one step at a time because we don't walk by sight. Paul points this out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Few words, but very meaningful. And we need to remember that. And we can see it again in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith, not by sight. These things cannot be seen, but we should have the faith in them. And we have to take one step at a time to get there. As a Christian, works not, and I'm going to express that again, we are not expected to know all of God's plan for man right off the bat. That's why Peter wrote to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Therefore, we need to keep taking one step at a time and make sure we're always stepping in the light so we can become the Christians we need to be. That's my lesson for this morning. I leave you with those thoughts. We need to always make sure the steps we're taking are in the light and take one step at a time to keep us from falling. The opportunity this morning is yours. If there's something that's missed in your life, if your life hasn't been what it should be, you have an opportunity. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, you have an opportunity. And we'll now stand and sing the song of invitation at this time.